Lovely to talk to you.
Thanks, Cathy.
Wesley Enoch, the Artistic Director of the Sydney Festival. You're on RN Breakfast, and it's 18 minutes past 8. Well, as we all know, conspiracy theories thrived in 2020. There were the old favourites like the belief in a flat earth and entirely new ones such as the view that 5G causes coronavirus. There's always been an innate danger to conspiratorial thinking, but the stakes are now even higher as COVID-19 vaccines start to become available. Now, a new global study from the University of Queensland will try to understand what underpins those patterns of thought. The study's co-investigator, Professor of Psychology, Yolanda Yetten, joins us this morning. Professor Yetten, welcome to RN Breakfast.
Good morning, Cathy.
So what kind of year would you say 2020 was for conspiracy theories, and where were they most pronounced?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think what we've seen is that conspiratorial thinking has really sort of taken off in the last year. And for us, that was very interesting because up until then, the focus in the research was very much on identifying what kind of individuals are more likely to embrace conspiracy theories. But what we see now with a world that is so unstable, where things are so out of control and where everyone feels pretty powerless, actually, in the face of the events, that a lot of people start to embrace that, these ideas, and start to look for explanations for what is happening. And that actually made us also think that there are very important sort of factors outside of the individual that we need to study to better understand why people embrace conspiracy theories. But also, ultimately, if we ever want to do something about it, in particular, if we want to get people to get vaccinated, we need to address some of these ideas. How do we actually do that? And again, as I said, the focus then is very much on what kind of environments lead people to embrace conspiracy theories.
What do we know at this point? Because conspiracy theories aren't new, so presumably there has been some research around this over the years. What do they point to?
Yeah, so as I mentioned, so far the focus was very much on what kind of individual is attracted to these ideas. And so it's really about mapping out the personality of someone. So, for instance, what they found is that someone who embraces conspiracy theories is more likely to think rather intuitively rather than analytically. Even that whenever you present them with random events, that they see a certain link there. There's also been a focus on education level, things like that, so that really have to do with their personality and why do they believe these at times rather extreme ideas. But I guess what's interesting is that the research has moved on, and it's as I said, it's much more seen as, well, that there's perhaps even an adaptive function to believing in conspiracy theories. So when are you more likely to do that? When you actually feel that things are out of control, when you feel threatened, or when you feel powerless, when you actually feel alienated from your society. And in those people actually embrace these conspiracy theories to actually help them to regain a sense of control. And that is psychologically quite interesting. You can look at that at the individual level. But as I mentioned at the beginning, that is something that we've all experienced in the last year.
Yeah, so perfect in many conditions ways, for conspiracy theories, really.
Yeah, so it's maybe not so much something that is just happening to an individual, but it's happening to all of us. So we've all become probably a bit more prone to believing in conspiracy theories to understand that crazy year that we just went through.
You're looking at economic inequality as being at the heart of the problem. In what way?
Yeah, that's one of the factors that we believe has a role to play. So as I mentioned, what we would like to do in our study is to map out the national cultural factors, also economic factors, political factors. So looking at many different countries and seeing at where do we actually find these fertile ground for conspiracy theories. And economic inequality is one of them. And we already have some evidence for that in the sense that the greater that that there is an economic inequality in a society or a country, so the greater the gap between those who are at the poorer ends of the spectrum and the wealthier spectrum, the more that people start to believe conspiracy theories that we actually present them with. And that is, of course, an interesting and maybe also not all that intuitive effect, but we think we can explain it by saying that, well, what economic inequality does is that it reduces trust in society. People become more suspicious of each other. They also become more suspicious of governments. And in that climate, you can imagine that whenever there is an explanation about powerful elites who want to do something that's, even if it goes against the common good, that those ideas are more likely to take hold.
And this is where this sort of better understanding of conspiracy theories and why they're adopted is so important, given that we've got really important public health issues at stake with the rollout of, for example, the vaccine.
Yeah, absolutely. It's in particular that we're trying to say that we need to understand why people embrace these beliefs, because it's very clear that the extent that official sources are being met with distrust when they actually try, say, to roll out vaccines, the harder it will actually be to successfully communicate the type of changes that people need to make to counter this particular crisis that we find ourselves in.
And, of course, you know, last year we saw, you know, an unprecedented amount of conspiracy theories emerging, but there is still a great deal of stigma attached to conspiratorial thinking. But is social media enabling people and these theories?
Oh, absolutely. What you're saying, the first point is an important one, that people feel if they express these ideas, they're being stigmatized. And there is an interesting sort of line of research we're working on right now that even shows that the more that we actually start to accuse people of, oh, well, that's just a conspiracy theory you're embracing, the more that they actually start to believe it, and the more they actually start to look for others who share those beliefs. And that is actually not a good way to counter conspiracy theories. Sorry, I forgot the second question you had there. Sorry.
Social media.
Oh, social media. Yes. Yes, absolutely. And that plays a role in a number of ways. So on the one hand, it's very clear that conspiracy theories, but also fake news, they're shared more often on social media than other type of information. And that partly has to do with that it is high emotional content often, but also because it is often really juicy stuff. It catches your attention. Of course, social media makes sharing of information so quick, and you can reach so many people. So there is good evidence that conspiracy theories are shared more rapidly and at a higher rate than any other sort of information. And that is, of course, also problematic, because sometimes it is the case that when something is out on social media, that we often assume that others have done their homework, others have done the fact checking, because why would they otherwise share that information? So there is a lot of information out there that is just being processed and shared rather uncritically, because no one really has to sort of vet all the information and go back to the basics to check it. So that's a real problem, and it's certainly the case that conspiracy theories, they could also thrive because of social media.
Well, it's given a pandemic, it's incredibly important research, and the more we understand it, the better. Thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Professor of Psychology Yolanda Yetton is from the University of Queensland School of Psychology. You're on RN Breakfast, 28 minutes past 8.